But we're not charging them until they're accepted.
Yeah, I forgot to share one thing. They'll basically have like a free CD where you pay $4.95. And it's exactly what kind of Ryan and Yannick's talking about. A lot of them don't have to go through the whole, I'll listen to the free CD, I'll buy the $39.95, whatever. They get the free CD, there's somebody inside, sets the appointment, and they do outbound marketing. Within 24 hours, they'll close that person. I mean, before even the CD shows up, that guy's already in like, they're like, okay, here's my credit card. Yeah, that's what we're experimenting with right now. And the number I want to share with the group, if any of you guys want to add this to your product funnel, if you have a good sales guy, and depending on what the price point is, the sales guy can add between $300,000 to $500,000 to your info business. Just one good sales guy, so.
I just want to share an answer to the price question. This is what we teach, and this is what I use too, because I sell training at $10,000 a day. And if somebody says, what kind of guarantee do you have? I tell them that this material is like a health club membership or like a treadmill. It's going to work if you will. I've got testimonials of people who have used it, and the only variable is you. And that normally satisfies them.
Yeah, it's great to just throw it right back at them.
There's something done in the consulting world that I think fits to the conversation we're talking about now, and having done consulting for 15 years, for the theory, first of all, is just take whatever you can get and get busy, right? So you price whatever you can at the point where you're full. So that's kind of what we do with the funnel of, inexpensive product, easily available, more expensive. And then we're talking about taking applications. And one of the things I teach my clients is, define what an A, B, C, and D account look like. An A is like your perfect account. This is somebody who would work with you. They're not necessarily your high dollar volume, but they work with you in the way you want to be worked with. They respect you. They do everything you tell them to do. They do it on time. This is like you wish you had 20 of those, right? And then the B's don't quite fully do everything, but it's good relationship, good cash flow. The C's, they might call you once a year. They pay a little bit of money, but they're low maintenance, so it's worth doing. And then the D's I call the client from hell. And the clients from hell are the ones that you did a deal with, and then they suck your time dry. They're the leeches in your life.
And then you probably discounted it too.
Well, yeah, and yeah. So part of what happens is, as you're talking about getting applications, get really clear on what a client from hell looks like. And make sure that when you design your application, you've got questions in there that help them identify who they are. Because you know what? If you're taking limited applications and you can get them to answer some questions that identify them as, I'm going to be a client from hell, you don't want their business. I don't care what you're charging.
Absolutely.
Because they will suck you dry.
Yeah, and I could figure that out for the phone conversation better even than the application.
Yeah, it's because it's the way they treat you from the very beginning. And if you listen to your intuition or guys, our gut instinct, right? Because we don't have intuition, but we've got gut, right? But if you listen to your gut instinct, you'll know immediately. I'm telling you, it's the way they treat you from the very beginning is a dead giveaway. Hey, I'll tell you, within 2 minutes, I can tell by their tonality, yep. By the questions they ask, by the way they treat me. Yep. It's like, you know what? I don't want to deal with this.
How long is your turnaround time when they do submit this? Like, how long does it take for you or your office to follow up with these guys on the application?
It was pretty quick. It was.
Do you want to wait a certain amount of time?
Well, like, you definitely don't want to follow up like
in 5 minutes
in an hour. Yeah, because you want them. You know that you're reviewing their application and you're going through stuff and checking out their references and so that can't be a quick 1 hour turnaround, but it's got to be still within the time period of when they're hot and excited. So
it's like next
couple
day,
days,
couple
nah,
days,
2 days, 3 days, four okay. days. Like sometimes, like the mastermind guys, this was because of because I was freaking wiped out after my seminar, and because I had to review all the applications coming in. It was like 2 weeks, maybe. How long was it? Do you guys remember? Like 2 weeks, probably. Yeah. But it's just, you definitely don't want to do it right away, and you definitely don't want to wait a month.
Yeah. And just so you guys, like he was saying, to identify problem children, like one of the key ones is I've been in 10 coaching programs that I had to refund. That's usually, we get that one. And the other thing I did want to say, because I left this out, my guarantee is, look, if you come for the full 3 days, sit through the full 3 days, And if you don't feel that we've delivered 10 times the value, then I'll give you 100% of your money back plus up to $500 in travel costs. Plus, I also want to make a second guarantee, and that is if you've been to any other pre-foreclosure or short sale training event and you don't feel that ours is double or 10 times the value after you sat through the full 3 days, then I will also give you 100% of your money back plus up to $500 in travel expenses. Show me and we'll refund you. The other thing, when we do pitch coaching, it's all or none. Like you were talking about earlier, we have like software that we've created so they can manage their business, some little websites, pre-recorded scripts on the 800 lines, just certain, like any products that we have, I don't sell it outside of coaching. And people always come in, they're trying to get it throughout the seminar. So what we found is a lot of times they'll just sign up for coaching. One thing that pushed them over the edge was the one thing we included, which was my auction book or whatever it was.
Right, that's like bonuses driving the sale.
Yeah. So totally just want everyone good. To be clear on
perfect.
That.
Perfect.
The one of the a common objection is like, well, I already have like, you know, $30,000 worth of info product. You know, why do I need to basically get your coaching? And this is something that I can't remember his name now. He does work with Joe Polish, Tim Paulson.
Tim Paulson, yeah.
Yeah, the key word is like implementation. A lot of people buy all this stuff and they get overwhelmed. They can't figure out what the hell to do with it. So the whole pitch is like, I'm going to basically customize something that's, you know, for you to get the results you want as quickly as possible. So that he shared with the group that drove like 30-40% of their sales right there. That one word, one. Two, your point about how long do they want to wait. This was something that was shared with me. It was very counterintuitive. A gentleman sells a very high-end coaching program. He actually makes them wait and sweat. So that when he calls them, I mean, they're like gaga. They're like, oh my God, they can't wait to throw that money at you. So he actually does the reverse. Yeah, so it's like, it's not a takeaway sale. It's even making them sweat. And it's really phenomenal. I mean, we haven't played that card. We do the takeaway sale, but mm-hmm. we don't sit there and wait. Mm-hmm. Actually wait 3 weeks just to make them sweat. So, but you know, it's up to you how far you want to take this.
Hey, give it to CJ, and then we got to move on.
Yeah, quick question. I've got a couple programs where, like this, I have to reject applicants. Mm-hmm. When you reject an applicant, do you ever offer a downsell? I've never had any luck. I offer it, but I've never had any luck. And I don't know if I'm insulting them or.
I've never had it work. Okay. I had someone that got rejected from the first apprentice program just because I didn't think she was ready for it. And she came back to the second one and signed up for it next year, which is a scaled down version. Okay. Page 420 in your manual. This is a cool little mastermind. I mean, they bill it as a mastermind, really, but it's I don't know what you actually would call this, but it's a pretty neat example. This is from Agora again, and it's essentially saying they got all these deals coming in for investing, and they want to let a select group of people in, and we're going to analyze the deals together. It's almost like you become part of the venture capital firm. It's kind of the best way of describing it. I don't even know how else to describe it, but that just gives you an idea of something else interesting. All right, area exclusive. This is another way you can do the info marketing business. And this is kind of one per area, one per zip code, very high perceived value here. You know, you got a limited marketplace, but that means you can charge significant amounts of money, $20,000, $40,000, $60,000, and up. I mean, it's almost like a franchise, really, if you think about it. This is the closest thing to a franchise in the info marketing business. So this is what we've done with the doctor's business. And you can see this is one of the things that they get as part of this. And we really went high end on this info product where it's printed on, it's nice, it's no, this is not a Kinko's thing. And that's not Selby either. I don't know where Larry got these done. Staples, they did them. So if you want to just take a look at that, it's just a cool, nice thing to stick on their shelf that they're never going to look at. Page 430 is the sales letter for it. And what we did was had a very... We combined a launch sequence along with this area exclusive, and it did pretty well here. So the whole thing is only one qualified doctor per zip code is going to be accepted. Everyone else is going to be locked out. The whole card you play is everybody else gets locked out except one person, and you want to create this feeding frenzy if possible. Something that we did try at one point, and I thought it would work really, really well, but it kind of flopped, but maybe somebody else would have luck with it, is we did a teleseminar only specifically like for one area, like Miami. And we sent out a letter with all the doctors that were getting the letter or getting this invitation on there, you know, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. Smith, Dr. blah, 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 blah. You know, all these people are going to be invited, but only one will get you this zip code. And it just sucked. I don't know. I don't know why that didn't work. Maybe they all called each other like, are you buying this thing? Hell no. But here's the sales letter setting this up. And I've experimented with a couple different versions of this. So you can see part of the things that are included. It's a whole lot of done for them stuff. And let me see what we got in here for you. So this is parts of the sales letter. Give them a bunch of done for them. It's like almost all done for them. It's like we do their newsletter for them. We have a website for them. We give them a book that we've had ghost authored that is now their book that they get their face on it via print on demand publishing. Just all kinds of stuff. A once a month call with this guy, Dr. Fairfield, who's my partner in this. And so we did a launch, and we'll talk about launches tomorrow, but we did a launch where it was a date specific where we did a teleseminar, and we'll talk about teleseminars tomorrow, where everything was building up and it says, hey, you can't even buy this thing. But it's available on this date. Here's a pretty good page, 442, which is proof that the stuff works. And once again, I'm not gonna cover too much copy, but this is really important because if they don't believe that the stuff works, the more proof you can give them, as much, I mean, whatever you think is enough proof, double it, triple it. And that's when, you know, they're gonna believe you or maybe not even believe you. Like I was telling the guys that I had lunch with, the funny thing is, one of our customers tracked us down. We were doing this road rally 2 weeks ago. And so we're in our bright green Lotus and Kern and I are dressed up as Elvises. And this guy finally tracks us down and he's like, hey, I'm a customer. And he's like in Winter Sport, Colorado, this little town. And he tracks us down and he's like, I believe you now. I believe this is all real. I'm like, what? And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell would make you think that this is actually real? You know, I would just think that it's just two idiots dressed up as Elvises. And why would you think that they're really making money online? But for him, that was a reality. But for most people are good with proof in all kinds of ways you can provide proof for them. 443 is a Q&A. You can see this is pretty similar to what we did at the Apprentice program. So area exclusive stuff. Does anyone do area exclusive here? Oh, cool. All right, Todd, you want to grab the mic for a second?
We do something similar to what you do, Yannick, for chiropractors in that we supply them with pre-done marketing materials that drive prospective patients to a website or a toll-free line, and then we actually fulfill a DVD for them. And we have 5 condition-specific DVDs
cool.
that go out with their contact information on it, a follow-up material with their contact information to drive people into their practice. And we do it with one practice per zip code, a standard member, one practice, and a deluxe member, one practice per zip code.
Very cool. Yeah, our price point for the docs is $7,500 up front and then $2,000 a month. Plus, if they want additional zip codes, I can't remember what it is. It's like $500 extra a month per zip code.
Is this the product that you're doing at $9,000 a month, or is that something else?
That one kind of fell apart. We didn't have enough interest in the $9,000. It was $7,000 a month, and that wasn't as good. So we scaled it down a little bit, and now this price point, I think, is really working well.
Okay. How do you basically do direct mail to these people since they're pretty easy to find, right?
Yeah, I mean, we do everything. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But direct mail in their publications, there's companies that will rent you email lists, or not rent, but they'll send out emails for you. I've had old leads that have just been sitting around forever.
And you mentioned that there's another person that's an industry. Is there another person that's in this business with you?
With me? Yeah, we just added a real doctor.
Okay, is that for credibility or domain knowledge?
It's for a couple reasons. It's for A, that I don't want to create all the content. B, he's already got a lot. It was actually a really interesting story because he came, you know, as you get more and more involved in the info business, you'll have all these things happen to you. Like, he was one of my original, who bought the original kit like back in 98 or 99. And he had to sit on a shelf for a while and then he started doing stuff with it and he went from $12,000 a month to $6,000 a day in his practice. And, you know, he was just so excited to tell me about this. And he was thinking about doing an info business. And he's like, well, maybe we should just team up. And so this is not like a major part of my business now. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's great because he's got content. He's happy to do some of the stuff I don't want to do. Like he'll do a monthly call with the docs every month. So it's that's one of the reasons.
Now, the $2,000 a month, does that include you actually doing it for them, like the mailing and all that?
That does not include mailing the newsletters. For $2,000 a month, they'll get... I don't know what exactly they get anymore. They get a bunch of stuff.
They get a box, yeah. There
you go. Well, the box is part of the 7,500. They get the big box with a bunch of stuff. But what we give them every month, I think we give them like 50 birthday postcards for their list. We give them like 25, we call them VIP, very important patient mailings, where it's like for 2 months, it's a envelope that's sent to their best patients, and then the third month it's a gift. They get the CD-ROM of the newsletter of the month. They get a pre-done promotion from Fairfield every single month that they can just plug in. So we have an interface built that they can literally upload their list or have us do it for them and mail out the promotion of the month that Jim creates. So they get a fair amount of stuff. They get staff training every month. They get a phone, like a mystery shopper type deal. So there's, you know, a lot of stuff. It's all mix and match stuff you can do. And all of it is driven by my one overriding philosophy is what is the end result? What do they want?
Now, do you find the margins on these things comparable to like a regular info product, or is it lower because of all the...
Nah, it's lower.
It's lower? But yeah. But the gross actually makes up for it, right? Because you're charging so much more.
Well, we're charging $7,500 up front, and that helps because that doesn't cost us anywhere near that amount to fulfill. I don't know what it costs for the package, but $2,000 a month, we're at like 50% gross. Or net, sorry. 50% net, yeah. All right, so area exclusive, that's one thing you guys can think about doing. Is something interesting. Live events and workshops. I mean, we'll spend some time on this and then I think finish up on this. Live events. So there's three things of doing live events. We'll talk about workshops first. This is actually a perfect example of a workshop. Usually smaller. Sometimes it involves actual doing. So actually this probably isn't the best example of a workshop. Like the one, the copywriting one that I did, they did exercises. So I'm like, okay, after we taught them, then it's like, okay, go write your headlines, go write some bullet points and doing stuff. It could be either breaking up into little groups and doing stuff individually, doing stuff. Price from hundreds of dollars to thousands of dollars. Less coordination is involved in workshops, obviously. Here's the announcement from my copywriting academy that we did 2 years ago, 446. So you'll see is limited. 47 people, and it was $4,000. So you can see some of the bonuses we included. We had a little wizard hat. It's kind of funny. I like giving away fun stuff. 461 is the email that drove them to letting them know that this thing was almost sold out. And 463 is announcing it. Actually, those two are in reverse order. So 463 should have been first. 464 is Stop Negativity. It's just another small workshop that somebody's done, just so you guys can see what's in there, how they market it. Here's Jim Edwards' workshop, 471. He did a whole multimedia training workshop. Workshops are really great for hands-on training with people, and the smaller, more intimate atmosphere is really good. Like, you know, if you got 400 people in a room, it's harder to train them on doing stuff. So those are big events. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Has anyone here put on little workshops?
Well, we've been doing a program called the Telesales College for about 15 years now. And we say we'll take 30 people, and I always say we're kind of like the airlines. We overbook a little bit in case there's cancellations. But we charge $900 for it. And it's a lot of repeat business. It's really a no-brainer. Don't have to do any marketing other than to our house list. And we'll only do about 8 of those per year. So it's just a nice little day and a half program. And again, I've done several hundred of these, and it's just a nice little addition to the business.
Who else does workshops? Anyone have anything interesting to share? Sure, okay.
I do a $5,000 four-day credit millionaire mastery seminar.
How many people are normally in?
40 people.
It's only
40 people, and we go through things from credit repair to what I call credit millionaire. Mm-hmm. They find all the money that they need for their business. And what I've learned from doing small workshops is it's as easy to sell a $5,000 workshop as it is a $97 seminar. And the $5,000 people
$2,000 are raising your price.
They complain less. They're better customers.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. The $5,000 people are definitely better customers. I just finished one yesterday. I just flew in last night here at 3 a.m. But I typically do something called Rhino Boot Camps. I have about 60 to 100 people at these boot camps, and they're very small, very intimate. But the interesting thing is that I don't do no marketing whatsoever. Nothing. Zero. In other words, I put the date on the website, and that's it. And somehow 60 to 100 people get there. So every single time. I don't know how that works. Well, no, I know it's kind of stupid. But so that's why I'm here, too.
You just have enough people hitting the site that
yeah, they figure it out. Yeah, they find out.
Is there a sales letter sign, or is it just, hey, here's the date?
No, I don't have a sales letter or nothing. Just have the date.
Just have an order button.
Just have the date, and they can order. They can order for the ticket. Yeah. The topics. One is called a Prosperity Mastery Rhino Bootcamp, which deals with how to develop prosperity consciousness. One deals with the Persuasion Mastery Rhino Bootcamp. I just did one last month. And then the other one is Self-Mastery Rhino Bootcamp.
All right, here's another cool example. Page 483 is, this is a field trip. So if I just want to broaden your minds a little bit about what you can do. So like Ryan, you were talking about field trips where you guys do the meetings at a successful student's place. These guys have done field trips to their office, so you can see how a direct marketing firm works and all the stuff that goes on. A field trip is a really cool name for essentially a workshop where you take people there to another place. Like I remember Ted Thomas used to, or Ron LeGrand and Ted Thomas, they used to actually get people on buses and take them to drive them by houses that they could potentially buy. And he'd be like on the loudspeaker talking about what they're going to be doing about this house and so on. And people love that. The field trip, Ted Thomas would take people field trip to a tax lien sale. So you could do a field trip to your office. As part of the apprentice program, we did a field trip to my office, which lasted for like 30 minutes. I'm like, well, here's the pool table. And here's bubble hockey. And here's the desk in the corner. And then we took him up to Missy's office, and we're like, so Missy, you have anything you want to tell him? No. All right, so, let's grab a beer. But the allure of the field trip of going to where business is actually being conducted is very cool. So if you have this kind of opportunity, you might want to consider doing a field trip. All right, 484, live events.
I was just going to talk about location and being creative.
Oh, great, yeah.
In about 10 months, I'm going to be doing a cruise for iBusiness consultants. And because I had a website and I'm marketing the cruise, I go for free. I have 3 guests that are going to be trainers for free. And everybody's going to have a good time, so I don't think there's going to be any complaints.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's also one of the best things about the info business is basically you decide what you want to do and where you want to have fun and make it a write-off.
The other thing, I don't want to put too many plugs in for cruises, but the really great thing about a cruise was that everything that you have to pay for as an extra expense in a hotel, that's all included as part of the service.
There you go. Yeah, that's good. But then again, you can't get off the ship from your customers. So maybe we got to use the qualification process. My friend Jim Edwards does the gym boat, and he likes that a lot, the cruise. So yeah, a cruise is great. A location, thinking about your location. We'll talk about customer appreciation and why I chose Orlando. Someone else had their hand up, I think. No, okay. So live event. Another way you can do a live event is a customer appreciation event. And so there's a lot of, just a lot of reasons why you could do something like that. For me, I chose my 30th birthday as a reason to hold this customer appreciation event. It's on video. I guess I'll reveal it. You guys know September 25th is my birthday. This event was in January. Because I thought about it in August. And I'm like, I should do something for my 30th birthday. And so I was talking to my mastermind group. And they're like, yeah, we're going to put on a whole customer appreciation event. It's going to be huge. And I'm like, yeah, it's next month. So we moved it. My birthday is now in January. For a lot of people, they like will send me emails. They're like, happy birthday. I'm like, thanks. but you know, a customer appreciation event is typically free or low cost. It's I've done a charity tie-in with the Make-A-Wish Foundation when I did that for my 30th birthday. And what the big tip is, work with the local chapter. If you try talking to national, they're just, you know, all kinds of bureaucracy or who knows, but working with the local, like mine was in Orlando, so I worked with the Central Florida chapter of Make-A-Wish. All the money on your customer appreciation event is typically made on the back of the room sales. So you bring speakers in or you're doing it all yourself, and it's all about pretty much selling stuff there. Mine was a little bit different because basically I had a lot of my friends there, and some of them sold and some of them didn't, and I didn't really position it as, I didn't bring in like the best closers in the world. I just tried to bring in really good content, and then if they sold, they sold. Though it was enough to pay for my Mercedes, so that was nice. Significant coordination for a payoff that's not always guaranteed. That's really important because you're gonna, like we had 550 some people, 540 something. I mean, it was the biggest internet marketing event before Corey blew it away with like 1,000 people the year after that. Yeah, his wedding. Yeah. So he saw a good idea that Corey and I are friends, so it was fine. But yeah, he blew it away with 1,000 people, and he did really well there. But it's a lot of coordination for once you get above. Those of you that do events, I don't know what the red line number is, but you know, like about, I think it's above about 150 is where the coordination really starts to get more, you know, just kind of screwy. Yeah. And I don't know if 150 is what you guys have found. Maybe it's 100. Some people it's 250. Yeah. So anywhere, but yeah, 500 people. It's tricky getting them all registered, feeding all these people, figuring out how to get them all coffee in time. And there's a lot of stuff going on. So what I've done is I hired meeting coordinators. One woman who I've hired is Heather Kruger, and she'll be up on that resource site. But she does a really good job, and she understands our type of business. Is that what you're going to talk about, Alex?
Can you share the cost of like filling up the room, and also like what are some like what were your gross sales or something from the event? That's okay.
Yeah, I don't remember what it cost me to put each person in the room, but I remember I netted out about $150,000, which is okay for a weekend. I'll show you the next example was, you know, that blows that away. So Marlon's question is, what's the difference? What's the purpose of a customer appreciation as a freebie versus a big seminar type paid? For me, it's a number. The last little bullet point here is the bonding of your customers to you. And you know, I had a lot of people who were really happy with me and got some great success stories out of that. I mean, to put on an event with 500 some people and we made it really fun for people. There's like dollar sign glitter all over the table or confetti, and you know, we had like the gag gift contest for me for the birthday gag gifts. Yeah, we had the dogs singing happy birthday to me, and Mickey Mouse came out to wish me happy birthday. And you know, it's all an event and it's all an experience, and I think that really helps bond your customers to you. Would I do one every year? Probably not. I haven't done one every year. Ron LeGrand does one every year for July 4th. But he also does way more events than I do. And so for him, it's not that big a deal. He's got a whole staff to do it. All right, here's a little quick slide about what, you know, my little birthday bash deal. The guys on my hockey team saw this photo and they were just reaming me in the locker room. They're like, where's your little hat, Yannick? Where's your little birthday hat? Here's a cool little photo. It's hard to see on that slide. Here's me and Mickey, and that's actually a photo of the actual room. It was huge. It was 500 some people. It was pretty cool. The next slide is, you can do a lot of good things in the info marketing business too if you want to. This is $25,000 that went to Make-A-Wish Foundation that we raised. Here's the way it worked. It was $50 that they paid to get in the door to reserve their seat. All that $50 went to Make-A-Wish, but they had to give me that money. Then I think we have a whole sales process here. Okay, yeah. So I'll go over the sales process. Here's the sales letter, page 488. You'll see some of the guest speakers. Now, you know, a customer appreciation event could be all you, which would be very painful, I think. Or you can bring in guest speakers. High five.
Absolutely. I mean, you just paid for, you know, this whole event.
All right. All right, Q&A panel discussions. You can do panels is another thing you can do on events, so you can get other people to work for you there too. We had a traffic generating panel, a copywriting panel, and a product development and creation panel. All kinds of fun stuff. We had a little goodie bag, which I loved as a kid, you know, go to birthday parties. Why not give away little goodie bags still? And that was a pain in the ass, but it was all fun. Then, all right, so like I told you guys, it's $50 to get in. We make no money there. It all goes to Make-A-Wish. We had an optional third day workshop, which was $7.95 to get in, and we made $40,000 on that. So that paid for, you know, if you're booking a hotel for 500 people or 200 people or 300 people, they lock you in with guarantees on rooms, food guarantees. You know, you're looking at, you're like, holy shit, what happens if nobody shows up? You're going to be staying at Marriott for the rest of your life. And so, you know, it's a little bit scary, but you just, you know, go for it. But so what you can do to help offset that, if you can do a free one, is have something that's paid that they can buy. And this was a third optional day. So it was a two-day event. The third day was this optional workshop. And the optional workshop was $7.95. And then we did some fun stuff. Like on page 498, you see we had a gag gift for me. Now, something I tried to do, you can see here, 498, it talks about the conditions. Read this carefully. It's about the $50 donation. Number two was that you got to be registered at the event. I tried to do that because I wanted to force everyone into my block. That didn't work for Orlando. People are like, I have a condo down there. I got a tape shooter. I got this. Right. And we're like, oh. So we just said, screw it. And you know, let them stay wherever we wanted. We more than filled up our block. It wasn't a big deal. I'm pretty conservative when I block the hotels, which also kind of screws up late registering attendees because Alan's asking, what's the percentage of people who signed up for $50 or signed up for the third day? Well, we had 500 some people, including guests, and then we made $40,000 on the whatever 800 is divided by 40,000. Is that what it was? Well, that's how many it was then. So how many, what is that? 50? Yeah, okay, so that's how many we had. See, I got Paulie doing math for me here. All right. The other thing is, if it's a free event, you also got to sell them on, hey, why is this thing free? What the hell is going to go on? Is he going to try and sell me every single second I'm there? So you got to handle that objection. We do that in the PS.
How did you say yes?
How did I say yes to what?
That you were going to do that.
It's there. No, we actually didn't. Those of you that were there, it was not just rammed down their throats pitch fest. It was good content, and then there's commercials. Marco, would you feel like you were sold every minute?
Yeah.
Okay. So Marco thought he was sold every minute.
You did your job.
Great contact too.
Great contact too. The other thing was we made it a fun atmosphere, so they didn't feel like, except for Marco, didn't feel like, I had so many people coming up and saying what a great event it was and that they weren't complaining about being sold all the time. And that was all about the birthday cake and the Mickey Mouse. And so that was all part of the stuff that made it really good. There is a paragraph in here that talks about we're having additional resources for you, yeah. Somewhere in there.
I mean, it was the very first internet seminar I attended in the U.S., so I didn't know what to expect.
PS number one is where we talk about how, you know, even though this is free, not to underestimate this. Now, notice what we do here, page 500. So, okay, so thanks for signing up. You know, if I'm only making $50 on a sign up, I want to do something to make sure I get hopefully some more money if they don't sign up for that third day workshop. So, and what it is, in honor of my 30th birthday, I have one more gift for you. I'm having a 30% off sale on selected packages. Click here to check it out. and here's the packages that are on sale on the thank you page of them signing up. And I don't remember exactly what that brought in, but that more than paid for the hotel. Page 504 is the email letting people know about this. 506 is a real good follow-up to live events. This is a real easy one that anyone can copy, is blank number of reasons why you need to attend this thing. So that's real simple. 508 is a real good pitch that you want to do for people for live events, like right at the last minute if you still got room, that for, it's a driving distance pitch. So it's basically making them feel guilty. Hey, this guy's coming in from Italy. And are you on here, Italy? Yeah. Ireland, Czechoslovakia, Mexico, New Zealand. And I'm like, well, you live driving distance away. You know, why are all these people coming from so far? And so that got some people. 510. This is the email that actually got the most people into the door and also got the most people annoyed. 510. It was from Yannick's wife. So Missy wrote this this email to our list. Hi, this is Missy, Yannick Silver's wife. Yannick's away speaking this weekend in Florida. I snuck onto his computer, send out this email to you. Good thing he doesn't change his passwords much. So why would his wife write to you? And then it talks about how I've been working so hard on this. And I probably shouldn't tell you this, but since Yannick is away, I have a little secret to share, but you got to keep it between the two of us. Unadvertised bonus, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, while you're there, say hi to me. So it kind of, you know, sort of maybe you thought it was from her. Of course, I wrote the whole thing. Yeah, P.S. Yannick always taught me I should have a P.S. in every letter, so here it is, blah, blah, blah.
Quick question. I noticed that every outbound email you have is, you know, very lengthy here. Have you tested whether this gets to more people versus, say, the one where I've seen where they write, like, a short opening paragraph and there's a link that goes to it?
I have not tested anything that short, but when I've tested stuff, it's usually been subject line. It hasn't been just length of email, so I don't have any results on that. Does anyone have results on super short email versus a long one?
As long as you're avoiding the real spam trigger words, you're just better off writing longer emails, because the people who are going to buy from you are, you know, the customers who know you, and so they're going to read your email, and so you've got to convince them in the email to click the link.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been my gut feeling, is it's almost like a pre-sale. It's like warming them up and getting them excited for this particular thing. The question was, are you using any kind of software or anything, or do you just know what the spam words are? I use AWeber, so I use their built-in spam checker. A lot of other software companies have that too, built in, so you can run it through there and it'll give you a spam score. What do you use, Marlon?
Lisa does all that for me, and so, I mean, she's been sending her emails now forever, and I mean, we use Delivery Monitor. And we check every email and we see, well, this cause, you know, and it's just all, for us, it's just all experience based. But yeah, I mean, we Delivery Monitor lets you track your deliverability rate.
Across different ISPs like Hotmail, Yahoo.
Yeah. And it'll show you, like, we didn't know one time. See, I have no capacity for attention to tell whatever, which is why I employ people, right? So the one freaking time I decided to send the email myself instead of having Lisa or Matt do it, I screw up and don't notice that I put amazingformula.com as the return email. And unfortunately, that email is on AOL's blacklist. So immediately, all the emails bounced. You bounce AOL one time, and AWeber has, because of AOL's toss, has to remove all the freaking emails. Well, that's AOL's 30% of your list. So overnight, I managed to destroy 30% of our list. The one time, I decided to send the freaking email myself, right? And so, of course, fortunately, within a week, Matt's looking at Delivery Monitor, and he's like, oh, Marlon, you know, ain't nothing going through to AOL. I'm like, no. He's like, what did you do, right? So you got it. So anyway, he got on the phone with AOL, blah, 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 and he fixed it. But you got to watch all of that. And it's the spam filter stuff is just the start. A lot of it's just your experience in emailing.
Yeah, so DeliveryMonitor.com, I think, is AWeber's service. A lot of people use that. Page 512, this is kind of cool, especially for a free event. I want to make sure that people are hopefully showing up. So what I did is I bribed people with a bonus if they sent me a copy of their airline confirmation. And so we just sent it. Okay, yeah. So we made sure that you know, if they were coming, if they sent me their airline ticket, there I was pretty sure they're going to be coming. 5:14, another stick email to these guys talking about something cool going on at the birthday bash. We're having a fun B-Day party show. You know, hey, you know, getting people excited. Hey, wow, only a couple weeks away from the biggest, grandest, most fun internet event of the year.
Psychic raccoon.
Yeah, the psychic raccoon. Rocky the raccoon. He's good. Dave actually gave me the Rocky raccoon, and he bought himself a new one. It's got like holes in it, and it's, I don't even know if I want it, but it's pretty good. All right, let's keep going here. Live events, big events, seminars, summits, boot camps, whatever you want to call them. You know, that's pretty much where big events are. Really tough to a cold list. I don't know that many people selling to a totally cold list where they're selling a high-end couple $1,000 boot camp or summit or seminar. It's pretty hard. Usually it's between 100 to 1,000 plus people. It's significant coordination and marketing efforts to needed to fill the room. I mean, a lot of people underestimate the task that goes into filling a big seminar. I know we got some people in here who are doing pretty good size events, and maybe they can tell you too. But for us, multiple contacts, like we start 6 months out to try and fill the room for 6 months out, because I want to give myself enough space so that if things don't quite go as planned, then I'm not totally screwed and I got 50 people in the room. And I just paid for Vern Troyer, and I paid for a Mini Cooper, and I paid for this and this. So I really want to make sure that I have enough time to hit my market with a bunch of marketing messages. Big events, I think, are a balancing act between content and selling. So it's less selling than a customer appreciation event. You know, they got in there for free, so my responsibility to them is not as high as, you know, say my underground events where I really pay a lot more attention to even more content. Create major paydays on attendance and back of the room sales, or both, is ideal. Who does big events? I know Paulie and Donna, you guys do. Marco, you do. Let's talk about how, where's the microphone? How many contacts it takes to fill the room, what you gotta do to fill the room.
We doing about three or four this type of seminars a month. And we started about 1 month and a half promoting the next seminar. So we is filling with 100-150 people for our real estate seminars, and about 60-70 with other type of seminars. So we using a lot of AdWords, Google AdWords, plus web letters.
So you're filling it with cold people.
Yeah, I'd say at least 60% is cold people.
How much is your seminar?
It's 1,000 to 1,200, about 1,200.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good for cold.
And we use Google plus web letters plus phone.
So when do they get on the phone? How do they get contacted via phone?
Usually they call us. We don't do any.
You don't do outbound.
No, we don't do outbound.
Okay, so they'll call because they're interested.
They
read the letter just because they want to be
to
safe.
Be perfected. Okay. You know. And so it's.
Well, that's pretty good.
Probably we are capped with 100, 120, 150. We can't go up to 200, 300.
What's the subject matter?
With real estate investing and stock and optional trading.
Interesting. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
The most recent room that we filled, we had a lukewarm list and no sales letter, and we filled by calling the lukewarm list, so personal phone calls from our staff member. On other occasions, we've used mostly email.
Was that
email.
Totally scripted, or is that just an outline of a script?
I scripted it in about 6 minutes.
Okay.
You know, so
what
it wasn't,
was the premise for the call? Just, hey, we got an event coming on.
Hey,
and
we got
don't
an event
people.
Coming on, and you're welcome to come for this low cost.
Okay.
And, yeah. So, and we got 125 people in the room. We had 23 before we started
the
calls.
Weeks before the event, there were 22.
And how long before the event did you start marketing it?
3 weeks. Did we start marketing it? Maybe
you
a month, 6 weeks.
It was a turnover. Somebody brought us
all right.
So, yeah, somebody brought us in at the last minute. We
okay.
Often
so you guys,
turn over
so you guys
bad
came
events.
In when someone else was kind
when
of
somebody
screwed.
Else was failing.
Yeah, so
exactly.
I mean that's why I like marketing way out, because it gives me opportunity to to you know, not hopefully be in a position where you got to do some crazy stuff. And like the outbound telemarketing is somewhat last resort, though I know a lot of people that fill rooms with outbound and it does extremely well. It's just all about how many people you want to manage.
Right. We do teleseminars all the time. Mm-hmm. They seem to be essential. People want them if we don't get them, but they don't fill the room. It's the follow-up emails after the teleseminars
that seem to work. I'll show you how to fill the room with the teleseminar.
Okay. Great.
Who else does pretty big events?
May I add a couple of points?
Yeah, sure.
When it comes to this component about filling the room and your advice about starting out far in advance is so critical, the other component of that advice is to make sure you understand your metrics, because the seminar buying audience is a little bit peculiar. So, for example, it is their natural tendency, even with things like price raises and whatnot, it's their natural tendency to want to delay the decision, because they see the event is coming out. And they really don't understand a lot of the mechanics of events. For example, that it's very hard to have a hotel property hold room blocks for you. The standard is sort of 1 month out, they want to release it. You can usually negotiate 2 weeks out. But people don't think that way. They think, oh, I don't know what my schedule's going to be like. So it's so important to monitor your metrics through the entire marketing cycle. Know if you need to go and renegotiate with a hotel.
Yeah, as it gets closer to the event, I always get weekly updates from the hotel, what's my block, because right. That's my liability.
Exactly. And so the one other thing I would say about marketing events that is paramount is try to connect the event to some other hot activity that's already top of mind. So if somebody's launching a product, and they're launching it a few months or even as little as a month before your event, try to do a tie-in or try to have them be a speaker or do things like this that allows you to borrow the buzz from other activity.
Cool. All right, I'm going to show you guys. Here's a quick mind map of what I did for the Underground seminar. So you can use mind maps for anything to organize events. So here's my big ideas. Here's people's objections, why they're not coming, why they're not going to the particular events. Different call to actions that I had, where we were raising prices. Call to action, only space for 239 people. This is Underground 1. Can't wait for the tapes because some of the presenters are not going to be sharing everything that they have on tape. Early bird registration, $17.95. Big bonus package of, this is a big bonus of what people could get there, which is a $4,000 value. It was like a spy mission. That it was a contest. Themes for copy, this is just as I'm brainstorming stuff. Spy photos, Mission Impossible, Get Smart. Speakers, here's some of the people that I planned on possibly having there. Oldest hotel in DC, those of you that are Underground 1 know that was really the oldest hotel in DC. We're never doing an event again there. But here's some of the benefits of it, the view, the history, and so on. Underground Technology Expo, I had this tech expo there. Big ideas, so this helped me create the copy, was not the same old seminar gurus, not a product dump because these people don't have product to sell. We have to make these people come forward. Strict criteria for what I wanted, sick and tired of the same old stuff. Only the shovel sellers are getting rich on the gold rush on the internet. All agreed to convene or debrief in the spy capital of the world. So, and then some of my objections for the seminar. So, you can use mind maps for all kinds of stuff to really get you clear about it. Here's the latest one, which is the Underground UK. And we use some theming. We'll talk about events and theming of events and theming of sales and different things tomorrow. So this is a whole spy theme, and you got me in the tuxedo, which, by the way, that's not my hand. That's way, way bigger than my hand. But so that's just my head on top of some guy in a tuxedo with a gun. But we did a really, really cool, like, fun spy experience for people with, the whole sales letter was set up. So it was spy-related and cool, and each of the speakers got their little dossier things and getting them to turn forward and sideways and just having a lot of fun with it. Page 519 is another example of an event. This guy actually booked Donald Trump. 539 is a really interesting example. This is something you can think about doing if you're doing live events. Is he made a list of every single person attending at that point. And you know, there's social proof involved there. Those of you have read Influence, Psychology of Persuasion. There's also like, hey, you know, you're looking down that list thinking, oh man, there's one of my competitors, I should be there. Or hey, there's Bill, I haven't seen him in a while, I want to hang out with him. Or you know, here's this guy, and you know, I should really do a joint venture with this guy. And it's a really good way of getting people to feel like they got to be there. 540 is the order form. 541. This is pretty cool. This is what Bill Glazer sent out to attendees of one of his summits after they already got home. Now, one of the cool strategies you can use at a live event is if you're gonna do another one, pre-sell it there. We sold 100 people into next year's Underground 3. You know, so before the doors even open, of course, some of those guys are gonna back out. You know, but still, they've made a commitment. I made a completely brain dead simple for them. It was like a 10 payment plan. So it came out to like $100-something, like $129 for 10 months or $149. It was like some ridiculous price. And we really explained to them, and it was true, was that I want to get a better count on the numbers for next year. And that really helps me to decide how big a room I'm going to block and so on. And, you know, having 100 people for an event then when you haven't even started marketing is pretty good. So, you know, it could be even bigger. Now, here's what you can do for those people that don't sign up for next year's event is a letter to them following up to attendees, giving them that same special deal. This is under the premise that Dan and Bill are away and you're not going to tell them and so on. And so that's 542 and 543. So giving them the same offer as before. Here's 544. This is Rory Fats, a fax that he sends out to his leads who are unconverted saying, hey, you haven't registered yet. And you know, if you want to save the money, you got to get in. Events are really driven a lot by deadlines. Yeah, you guys are nodding your head. It's so, so true. Like we have an early bird deadline when, like for instance, we give away a free dinner. Like this year was a dinner with these guys from Second City. It was an improv spy dinner. It was a lot of fun. It was pretty awesome. And we give that away only to people that sign up for the early bird deal. And also the price increases and a bonus goes away. Another bonus on top of that dinner. And when you see that deadline, I mean, people just procrastinate. Like Donna, you were talking about, or Paula, I can't remember, one of you two were talking about procrastination. And it's just natural, it's human tendency to procrastinate forever if we can. And those deadlines, so if you're marketing against those deadlines, and here's some cool faxes that you can do, like 545, so you can start out a countdown depending on how far out you want to go and how far you want to annoy people. You know, page 548, the last 2 days, 549, this is it. So you can have a whole countdown. Now, what I've given you, number 5 in this yellow manual, is my Underground Online Seminar launch, the live event. And you can see the whole countdown that we did, you know, how we got people first onto an early bird notice list so they could get first crack at it. Page 140 till the end of the book. Actually, there's a better, somewhat better copy of that mind map in there too. But so you got copies of what I did to get people on the early bird list. Then what we did with people once they got on that list, so the underground's open. Then just more, you gotta keep, I mean, I cannot emphasize enough how many contacts it takes typically to fill the room. And it's via direct mail, via email, whatever you can do, teleseminars. So there's some in here, you know, 21 reasons you need to be at the underground. You guys have seen that before for the birthday bash, page 156. What else is somewhat interesting here? You got the whole sales letter, I think, here. Page 180 is a teleseminar that we did. And what you want to do on the teleseminars, I'm going to cover that in depth tomorrow for when we talk about pitch teleseminars, is one of the things that you can do on there is make special offers just to the people on the call. One of the things that I found that really sold events, if I'm ever in trouble, one of the cool little secrets that I've done that I don't do a lot because a lot of times I don't get into trouble with events, but if you guys are last minute stuff going on the TEL seminar, you can essentially give away a free hotel a night or the whole, depending on how much your event costs, you can give away the whole stay for people. And it's much better than discounting. People love that hotel, but there's got to be a legitimate reason why. So you say, you know, when what's kind of unknown is that when you book a whole bunch of rooms, the hotel gives you X amount of rooms for free. Well, we have all the speakers already accommodated, and so we have this amount of rooms available for free. We got 6 rooms available for free. And people just go crazy for those free nights. And even if you got to pay out of your own pocket for those hotel nights, it's worth it. It's better than even discounting for the event. 182 is just a follow-up for the teleseminar. All right, 184 is, I don't think I, all right, so I didn't include all of them, but I had a, okay, 183, you can see, here's one email that's 4 days left for that underground, for the deadline. And then we did a whole countdown, 3 days left, 2 days left. You really, I mean, some people are gonna get annoyed and pissed off at you, but that's fine. But you're gonna get way more sales if you do a whole sequence of leading up to this big deadline, drop dead date. And it really works like crazy. 188 is after that first deadline, so you gotta introduce something else cool for them for some reason to contact them. 192. Is just another push that, you know, it's basically, hey, I'm concerned about you. I haven't seen you on the list that you signed up. And then 195, we're getting to the end of the sequence where we only have X number of seats left. So, you know, 197, you can see the results. We sold out 5.5 weeks early before the event when most other seminars are, you know, trying to fill rooms, like literally a lot of internet seminars will fill rooms up until the day of the seminar if they can. So you want to do multiple contacts, as many as you can. The early bird was like, the question was, did you start promoting the thing, the early bird 6 months out? Yeah, the early bird, that date was 6 months out or 5 months out, whatever I started promoting it. But that was the same date. And then as we got closer and closer to that date, the marketing got more and more intense. All right, page 551 is productizing. I want to, let's just save that for tomorrow.